Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
It's good to be here. Good to see so many of you here. I thought on a long weekend, I wonder how many people are going to be here, but pleasantly surprised to see so many of you here. I've chosen to read from John chapter 2, which deals with the very first miracle that Jesus performed. So John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that he had turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are all dragons. No, not the fire-breathing monsters, but the dragons that you see on CBC television program called The Dragon's Den. Maybe you are aware of that program and watch it regularly, but it's a panel of five individuals, quite well-heeled individuals. These are fat cats, so to speak. They have lots of money. And now people come to these dragons and they promote certain ideas, certain business ideas. And it's really amazing, actually, how many ideas are out there amongst the people. And so they try to get the dragons to invest in this idea. So the other day I was watching, and I was kind of interested because this guy had a new seat for a bike, and it was it's a seat that really fit the anatomy of individuals, and so I thought it was quite interesting. I remember one individual, he was trying to get them to invest in an $8 billion theme park north of Toronto. There are people who had slippers that you first of all put in the microwave, and so there are all sorts of ideas that are presented to these dragons. And then after the ideas are presented, then the dragons are speaking to each other. Sometimes some of them think that it's a real dumb idea, but others think that it's a pretty good idea. And so the end of it is either they say, "I am out," or "I am in." And if they are in, they will invest in that enterprise and hopefully set you on a good footing in terms of promoting this idea that you have. This morning, you are the dragons. And somebody else comes and presents himself. It's Jesus. He comes there with six jars, big jars. Water is filled to the brim. And then it is taken to you and say, here, you taste this. And you say, oh, wow. This is good stuff. This is the best wine that I've ever tasted. But now, would you invest in this person? In this project, if you will? There are those who are inclined to be, I'm out. They might think, look, of all the problems that exist in the world, the biggest problem is not the fact that we don't have wine. There are vineyards and there are vintners, and you go to the wine store, the liquor store, whatever, and there are wines from New Zealand and from France and from Spain and from Canada, from the U.S., no matter where. Wines from all over. The biggest problem in the world is not that we have, that we're running out of wine. And besides, if we would kind of invest in that, somebody's able to put water and you get wine out of it, what's going to happen to all these vineyards? I kind of like going around touring vineyards and tasting wines and so forth. And so, no, I'm out. I'm not going to invest in that. But there are those who say, I am in. Look at verse 11, the disciples. And his disciples put their faith in him. They are in. They are going to, after they saw this, they're going to invest their, not only their life savings, but they're going to invest their beings in this person. Why? Why? Well, notice what it says here, that this is the first of the signs that Jesus did. Now, first can be kind of, you know, one, two, three, the first one is one, and that. But first can also, as kind of the prototype, you know, the first Chev or Hummer or whatever, it comes off the assembly line. Yeah, it's first, but it's more than, it's the prototype. All the others are going to be like it. And so this is the first of the miracles. Now, it's very interesting that in the Gospel of John, there are seven miracles. And we'll talk about those quickly in a moment. But you see, the disciples see much more than just simply wine. This is the first of the miracles. And they see much, much more. And so they put their faith in him. They have seen his glory. So this morning, I'm going to end the message with asking you the question, are you out or are you in? Are you saying, no, I'm going to pass this by? Or are you going to say, I'm in. I'm in all the way. I'm going to invest in this person, in this enterprise. And so we go and we look at the particular miracle. It begins with the phrase, on the third day. Now that again can be day one, day two, and then we have day three. It's very interesting that in the chapter before, verse 29, the next day Jesus saw, verse 35, the next day John was there again. The next day, verse 43, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and then on the third day. But remember that this book was written after Jesus had died on the cross, after Jesus had ascended into heaven. So when you read the phrase, on the third day, what do you think of automatically? I think you are thinking about the fact that on the third day, Jesus rose again. And so already here we have, in the very early chapters of John, we have kind of a look to the end. So what is happening here, we need to see through the prism, through the lens of the resurrection of Jesus. Anyway, Mary is invited to this wedding in Cana. Some people speculate that Mary, the mother of Jesus, might have been an aunt, or she seems to have some say at the wedding. And Jesus and his disciples are there too. Now, I find that also kind of interesting, because when I think of Jesus, I often think of him as somebody who is very, very serious. But yet, I would have loved to have seen Jesus at this wedding. I don't know what weddings that you have been at, but it's a time of frivolity. It's a time of laughter and talking about, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time, and there's a joy there. And so Jesus and his disciples were there. Jesus, I think you could say, also loves to party. And so here was Jesus at this wedding. Well, we read here that Mary comes to Jesus and she says, the wine has run out. There is no more wine. Now, what does Mary mean by that? Well, I don't think she means a whole lot by it. I mean, the fact is that the wine is running out. And that especially in that culture, in terms of being a good host, that is a tremendous embarrassment. And so she says to Jesus, the wine has run out. Now, what do you think Jesus heard there? Was it just simply that there was no wine? You see, I think Jesus heard a lot more than that. You see, wine in the Old Testament is a symbol of the new life, of joy, of hope. We read in Psalm 104, he makes wine that gladdens human hearts. In a world which there is so much sadness and trouble and woe, he makes wine that gladdens the human heart. And here we catch a snippet here. This is the wine that he is wanting to offer. In Amos 9:14, the days are coming when new wine will drip from the mountain and flow from all the hills. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and drink their wine. You see, this is hope. This is what people are looking for, where there are no more troubles, where there are no more horrific shooting events like Bowen was praying for in El Paso that happened yesterday. And so when Jesus hears the phrase, they have no more wine, what does Jesus hear? He hears that the barrels are empty. The hope of the world is gone. You know, people try to fill it with pleasure, with sexuality, with money, with great enterprises. They'll go to wars to attain something. But in the end, there is no more wine. A good book to read as you're reading this particular chapter, or this about this, the first miracle here, is the book of Ecclesiastes. There, the writer, the preacher, as he is sometimes referred to, he tries wealth, he tries parties, he tries hard work, he tries harems, he denied himself nothing, the book says, and yet what is his view on it all? He says it's empty. It's vanity. There is no wine. The barrels are empty. I think this is what Jesus is hearing in this particular cry of Mary. There is no wine. Then we come to this rather, I guess I call it a little bit of an awkward exchange between Mary and her son. Because Jesus says, "Woman, what has this to do with me? For my hour has not yet come." First of all, in terms of the word woman, maybe in your Bible too, it says that this was not a put down. Because on the cross, you can read that in John chapter 19, where Jesus, from the cross, he addresses his mother and says, "Woman, here is your son," referring to the author of this book, the Apostle John. But yet, I do think that there is an element of rebuke there. He asks the question, "What has this to do with me?" And there's something at one level that's kind of difficult for us to hear, I think. That is, what does this have to do with me? Here this person, they're without wine. Is that the biggest issue in the world? Is that what I've come to do, to resolve? Some years ago, I struggled with, as my first wife, she has scleroderma. Jesus, please heal her. And what has this to do with me? In other words, sure, I could heal her, but then the wine barrels would still be empty. It hasn't really addressed the issues of life. And so there are times when we want to poke Jesus. Jesus, I need a new job. Jesus, whatever. At a certain level, we have to realize that Jesus is not our gopher. And so Jesus says to Mary, "What has this to do with me?" Then he also says, "For my hour has not yet come." Now, what does hour mean? Well, again, there's very little question about that, that the hour that Jesus is referring to is the hour that he is on the cross. That's where he pays the penalty. And so, my hour has not yet come. That's where I'm going to fill the barrels. That's where you'll really see the new wine. But as we see, we can get a taste of it even now. We can get a taste of it as Jesus is about to perform this miracle. And what was Mary's response? Did she get kind of irked? Did she get ticked off with her son? I mean, look, son, I diapered you. I patted you on the back. And you're just going to simply call me woman? Was she offended at all? Notice what she does. She goes to the servants and she says, Do whatever he tells you to do. You see, and I think that that's a tremendous, powerful statement of faith, that in the struggles that we do have, do what he tells you to do. What does he tell us to do? He tells us to pray. He tells us to serve. He tells us to love. These are the things that he calls us to do. And so he says to the servants, "Fill the barrels, the jars to the brim." Each of these containers contained about 20 to 30 gallons. And they were filled right to the very brim because he did not want to be accused of somebody pouring something into it and say that caused the water to change. No, it was water right to the brim. And then the water, of course, was taken to the maitre d' and tasted it. He was just overwhelmed. This was fantastic. This was the best wine he had ever tasted. And he so went to the bridegroom and said, look, you know, most people, they put the good wine out first and then some of the cheaper wine when people have had plenty to drink. And so they're not too picky anymore on what kind of water, what kind of wine they are drinking. But you have kept the good for the end. Notice that these jars were for the ceremonial cleaning. Here Jesus, I think, is pointing out here that this represents the Jewish religion, or at least that of the Pharisees, let's say. There was rules and rules and rules and all sorts of regulation. There was no joy. There was no renewal. It was just a matter of, okay, it's the Sabbath day. So now what can we do and what can we not do? And, I better do some real penance here because I think I've offended. And it was just, that's what religion had become. And so Jesus says, fill those jars with water, and out comes new wine. This is the joy. This is the hope. This is the renewal that is represented through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we read that this is the first of the miracles that Jesus performed. As I indicated, there were seven miracles that take place in the book of John. In chapter 4, there is the healing of the servant's, the official's son. You may recall where there's a lot of people and an official comes, and then Jesus says, go, your son has been healed. And he believes. He doesn't need Jesus to come. No, he believes, and he goes and he discovers that exactly when Jesus said, your son is healed, that's when his son became better. In John chapter 5, we have the healing of the man who had been at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. He was lame. He couldn't get into the water when it stirred. And so Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Yes. And Jesus says, rise up and walk. In chapter 6, we read of the feeding of the 5,000. People who are hungry with a few loaves and some fish, 5,000 people are fed. Also in chapter 6, there is the walking on water. Jesus suspends, if you will, the laws of gravity. In chapter 9, we have the man who was born blind. And then finally in chapter 11, there is healing, the healing of Lazarus from the dead. And so do you catch? This is the first miracle that people who are ill are going to be healed. That people who are lame are able to jump for joy. That people who are hungry are going to be fed. That even though we are subject to nature, Jesus is able to suspend, that he's able to walk on water. The man born blind was able to see again. And finally, though Lazarus was dead, he was alive. Talk about new wine. This is the wine that is represented in Jesus. And no wonder the disciples said, I'm in. And notice that if you add it all up, there was probably about 180 gallons. This wine would not run out. We sang that song earlier, your love never fails. And that's again what these jars represent. Your love, your new life will never, never run out. And so he is not first of all focusing on my needs. He is representing himself. But in coming to understand him, coming to know him, I discover that my needs are met. Sometimes at a very casual level in terms of healing or a new job or whatever it might be, but sometimes also at a very, very deeper level as I come to know Jesus, the one who turns water into wine. And so the disciples put their faith, actually the word there is into him. You know, they just didn't have a little, you know, he's a pretty good guy. No, they put their faith into him. You know, sometimes you know people who are really into things, and so it kind of, you know, takes over their life. I have an 8-year-old grandson, and his parents don't know why, and I certainly don't know why, but he's really into snakes. And so how do we know that? Because, well, every book that he gets from the library, toys, he's really into it. Well, here the disciples are into Jesus. And so I hope and pray that we recognize that we're really wanting to know what Jesus says, what he represents, how he lives, so that it's not we who lives, but it's Christ Jesus who lives in us. And whenever we have communion, as we eat the bread and we drink the wine, that it's Christ who lives in me. And so it's time, dragons. Are you out or are you in? Are you into him all the way? For we have truly seen his glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of the experience, please come and join us. Be blessed wherever you are.